All right, here we go. We are on part 15. And again, this is basically the last part of the authentic faith balance. And we're going to talk to you today about there is dialogue at the post. It's pretty obvious now that, I mean, after all that we've learned, that there has to be dialogue at the post. But this message has a lot and had a lot of significance then and carries a lot now. We're going to mix this with also the Omega Fellowship, the resurgence of Alpha and Omega, but we're going to focus on Omega, which we understand to be the Father. But God revealed to us in this message that there was a danger after all the training he's given us concerning coming to the post out of Proverbs chapter 8 and all of the training. There, he reveals a danger if we go back and leave this place of authentic faith and moving and about by the post and by the gates and not being there daily. We heard Elder Allison share a word on three times a day, breaking it up. And Sister Erica came behind and talked about how God revealed to her the three sessions, or through three times a day, through 8 hours a day, that every session, the morning session will cover the eight, afternoon will cover the eight, and your evening will cover the final eight of the day. And that's really great. That's awesome that we learned that, and it's really necessary. We can live by faith. We really can. The just can really live by faith. We can truly, truly come into position to where we are sealed in this. Totally. I mean, totally sealed all the time. It is my goal, it is my aspiration, my dream to dwell with him on the earth prior to the rapture. Somebody say amen if you can hear me.
Amen.
Amen.
It is a goal I've set out a long time ago. Had a lot of hiccups, a lot of bumps, a lot of stumbling blocks, rocks of offense. I've had a lot of things in the way. But I was just talking to him this morning and I told him my goal hasn't changed. My goal over all these years, I told him I'm never going to give up. I'm never going to quit. I'm never going to stop believing that I can be holy as you are holy. I can be perfect just as you are perfect. And so here we go. Here we go. There is dialogue at the post. And so the danger, let's look at this in Proverbs chapter 8. There's a danger if we leave this post experience, if we leave this knowledge. It says, "Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord." Verse 36 is where it's at for us here. "But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." Now, all this time, God has been training us on how to come into the realm of authentic faith, coming to the post of his doors, waiting daily at his gates, and coming to the post, getting into his temperament. Man, we have been trained over and over and over again. I don't know how many times he's used the word exchange and temperament during this series, but it has been an astronomical amount. He has really been pouring into us and wanting to really instill in us authentic faith. And he has. He's given us the way. Mom, Elder Donna was saying it during the prayer that we really do have the way. We really do have what we need to absolutely live it out. He's given it to us. And so verse 32 through 35 revealed life at the post and what would take place as we get there. Verse 36, on the other hand, reveals the dangers of having discovered it, but not living by it. "But he that sinneth against me," against who? Knowledge, the awareness. You wrong your own soul. It says you sin against him and you wrong your own soul. The word sin there means we miss the goal, or we miss the path. Apropos for the knowledge of going to the post, there's obviously a path. So when we sin, we miss the path. And we miss it, and it causes us not to be able in that moment or in that time, it causes us to actually kind of enter into a breach to where we're not where God is able to. We're not really, you can't be in sin and in faith at the same time. It's just not possible. You can't be in sin. You can't miss, because when you sin, you miss the path. You miss the goal. And what it means when you miss it, you wrong your soul. The word soul means self, but the word wrong means to maltreat. And to maltreat means to torture. So basically it's saying here, you torture yourself when you miss the path. It's torture. And God taught us this during the series, and it wasn't too long ago that we heard this, but we torture ourselves. And man, if you imbibe that, if you really think about it, it's true. We really do torture ourselves. It's like, come on, man, you've got the answers. You've got what you need to see victory, to see success, and to receive salvation. Why would you torture yourself? That's why it says, he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. The word soul meaning self. You wrong yourself. It's not God. Amen. It's not a test. It's not always a test that we're in. It's not the way it is. Sometimes we're just wronging. We're maltreating ourselves, having the answers, having the understanding to live. Man, do you know how many Christians that don't have an understanding on how to live by authentic faith? Do you know how many Christians walk around, man, not knowing what to do because nobody's teaching, or they're not getting the right word, they're not getting the right understanding? But now the Bible says that now that we have it, he that sinneth against me, against what I've taught you, against the knowledge I've given you, you're wronging yourself. He's saying, I have nothing in any way to do with the fact that you feel maltreated. You're doing it to yourself. He that sinneth against me wrongeth himself. Soul means self. So now God has given us this, and the danger behind not staying in it is that we'll torture ourselves. We'll torture ourselves. We can no longer sit on the bedside and drop to our knees and try to ask God, what do I do? We've graduated from asking the question, what do I do? All the answers that we need are at the post. Amen. They're inside his temperament. And God has given us a clear pathway on how to get there. We no longer have the right as mature Christians, as elders in the kingdom, if you will. Everybody under this teaching has reached an elder-like status. You've got an understanding that you can pass down to and give out to folk that don't know. Man, we've got what we need. And this is the way our series ended up. God was letting us know we arrived at the end of this series. We have made it, praise God. We don't Amen. Have excuses any longer.
Amen.
There's not one excuse. In fact, TGM that has been under the Rhema word, like I said to you before, my phone very seldomly rings. Why? Because everybody that's been under this Rhema understanding on how to stay in the study has already had the answer to every problem they go through. And they already know what I'm going to say if they ring my phone. Have you been in your Rhema word?
Amen.
The Amen. Only time we have trouble is when we're torturing ourselves. But we've met the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We've met the God of covenant. We've met him. We've met the triune God, Alpha and Omega. We've met them. We know them. We know the way. Jesus said, the way you should know. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We've got it, guys. We've got it. So whenever we walk away from the post and the process of the post, we're wronging ourselves. So when we miss the way or the path, we end up torturing ourselves. The torture is actually having a sense of how to find salvation and success, but not able to actualize it. We get into those moments where we can't actualize the post experience. Why? Because we've got caught up in ourselves. We got caught up in possible sin. We're missing the mark and the path somewhere. And so now actualizing, coming into where we belong becomes difficult sometimes. But don't, we can't say we're being tested or tried. We can't blame God. Blame ourselves. That's the level he's brought us into in terms of authentic faith. My God, imagine holding the answers to every question that you've got. And any question that hasn't been answered, by the time you get to the post, is where the questions are answered anyhow. Under the glory, we get answers to questions. The glory comes from out of the post experience when we come into the temperament of Christ. Then the opinion of the Father is released and revealed. We really don't have any excuses. For some reason, after learning the way to authentic faith life, if we veer from it, it truly is like, it really is like torture begins. We lose our sense of direction in the spirit. Don't leave the knowledge of the post. Don't leave the knowledge of coming daily, three times a day to his gate. Don't leave the knowledge of it. Don't leave the knowledge of feeling after him and then receiving instruction from him. Don't leave this, because this is how we live by faith. Jesus said it like this in John chapter 14, verses 4-6. It says, and whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Where I'm going, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said, they saith Lord unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus thought that was kind of crazy. He said, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, Thomas, the truth and the life. We're trying to get you to the Father. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The ultimate goal is to get you to the Father, to get you to Omega, to get you to results. Jesus said, you don't realize that I am the way, the Alpha. I am the beginning of this fellowship. I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. I will produce the full Zoe. My goodness. Amen. So the way means this. Jesus said, I am the way. It means a course of conduct. It means a manner of thinking, feeling, and deciding. Jesus said that I am the course of conduct. I'm the way. That's me. I'm the manner of thinking that you should be tapped into. I am the feeling that you should have. And I am the one that's deciding. I'm showing you decisions. I am that guy. We can only get to the place of manifestation by his course of conduct. Jesus was letting him know. By my manner of thinking, I am the way. Let my temperament, this is what we get out of it, let my temperament take over. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the place of torture is how we rack our brains on how to merely reach him when he already taught us on how to reach him through his temperament. Through his temperament is how we reach him. Oh, only by his temperament.
Thank you, Lord.
That's all. That's all it takes. Thank you, Father. Telling Thomas, that's all it takes. Get in my temperament, Thomas. Get into my mindset. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the course of conduct. Thomas was told the very same thing that Jesus has been telling us. That's why verse 32 stresses, blessed are they that keep, meaning blessed are they that keep, talking about Proverbs 8:32 here. Blessed are they that keep, meaning we guard and protect his ways. Once you tap into the truth about the post, there is no looking back and there is no going back. It's the realm of authentic faith. It's the authentic way we are to live with God. It's nothing short of God's fellowship with Adam in the Garden of Eden. It's absolutely for real. And this is what it takes. Jesus said, I am the way. My temperament is all I can hear when I read that now. My temperament, being in my temperament, is the way. It is the truth that will produce the life. The full post experience will go from word to works when we're there. When we're there and we're in this dialogue and we step into this dialogue, the words that we're speaking with Alpha and Omega, the conversation with Alpha, will turn into the works of Omega. And that is a beautiful thing, that if I'm at the post and I'm in a dialogue, I'm in a conversation And it may be a conversation about an area God sees me or the Lord is looking at me and he's seeing that I'm not strengthened or I'm not moving rightly in. Do you realize that conversation at the post will become the works or the results? It will become the place of my salvation and success. That very dialogue becomes, it goes from words to works. And we learned this a long time ago, but Amen. It's really awesome seeing it from the post, from the eyes of authentic faith. It opens up another realm. It says in John chapter 14, verse number 10, it says, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father?" I feel the Holy Ghost on the line today, guys. "And the Father in me, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself." But watch what happens. "But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." So the words that are transpiring, the dialogue that's taking place, it's going to become works, manifestations. My goodness, it's worth learning to how to keep the post experience alive. It's worth learning how not to lose the position of authentic faith. It's worth it. If you ever wanted to see manifestation, and my goodness, I know everybody does, this is the way it happens. My dialogue, the words that Jesus is speaking to me, will become works.
Amen.
When Jesus speaks to us at the post, it positions us, the note says, it positions us for his Father or our Father to do the works. The Father will bring forth manifestation to whatever is being said. Mark 4 revealed the post. In Mark 4, chapter 4, verses 24 through 26, in the AMPC, it says this, "And he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear." For to him who has will more be given, and from him who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away by force. That's that danger part again. So now notice the words virtue and knowledge. The awareness when I'm there, with the awareness, man, my goodness, the awareness of the glory was always waiting for us ever since the rhema of Mark 4. Be careful what you are hearing. Listen, it could be read like this. Be careful what you are hearing, for the glory, his opinion, will only be revealed in the truth we are hearing. So the study becomes the pathway to the post. So when I'm hearing rhema, I'm hearing essentially God's real opinion there. I'm hearing words of glory be released. And so now the study becomes a pathway to the post. The manifest experience at the post is when more is given to them. Watch this. What do you mean more? Well, when I come in by the rhema word, by the now study, the more that's given is really being released in personal instruction.
Amen.
More starts to seep in. He starts to make what was general, we learned this a long time ago, he starts to make it personal. And when that thing becomes personal, you're getting more. Now, the rhema you got, and that Sister Erica goes through this a lot, the rhema you got now gets in your personal space. And when it gets into your personal space, that's more being given. And that's what causes virtue to come from out of knowledge. Virtue starts to come out. Manifestation starts to happen. So Mark 4 already had the mystery, man, was already there. This truth was already on lock in Mark 4. So the revelation of the post experience has been there all this time. Now, this is the part where you have to understand there's dialogue here. There's dialogue. And we look at this story here over at the woman at the well. And this story, man, this thing explodes. Here is where it all comes together. There's dialogue and water at the post, everyone. It's a real dialogue with Alpha and Omega. You go back and forth, and I love this. My goodness, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it so much. There's such a dialogue with them, and there's such a wonderful conversation. Even if it's talking about areas that you're stuck in sin, it's still a wonderful conversation. Remember, the dialogue is going to become manifest works. Watch it right here. Watch it unfold with this story in John chapter 4, verse 13 through 26. It says, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Remember, there's water at the post. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. You say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And I love that. In spirit, remember that, that you shall worship in spirit and in truth. That's a key to authentic faith. That's the key to works being done. For the Father seeketh, look at this, the Father seeketh such to worship him. And my goodness, if I can just take a sidebar, Jesus has positioned us for what the Father has been seeking for. He has positioned us. Why? Because he's teaching us how to be in the truth at the post. Watch. Yeah. God is a spirit, verse 24 says, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Now the word thirst means this. It says thirst is those who are said to thirst, who painfully feel their want of and eagerly long for those things by which the soul is refreshed, supported, and strengthened. When the Lord spoke to her, when he spoke about her thirst, the post experience, understand this, the post experience had begun. She knew she had an issue with her being promiscuous. She knew that she had a thirst. And my goodness, the post experience, you got to understand this. In this dialogue, Jesus is ninja. He's always sneaking and always slitting throats. He's doing things. You don't realize the attack is coming. But the rhema word that becomes personal starts to really get into your personal space. And that's what he started to do with this woman. He began to talk about a thirst, and then he reveals her thirst about go call thy husband. So now this thing has begun, and this is how it always is at an authentic post experience. When you're coming in and you're coming in broken with a broken spirit and a contrite heart, I'm telling you right now, it's going to be just like this. It's going to be just like this. She knew that she had an issue of being promiscuous. He tapped right into her thirst, and hence the dialogue begins. In verse 16, Jesus begins to pour water at the post. She's in the midst of a post experience and doesn't even know it. We can take a page from her book of ignorance. Watch. We need to be more free, listen, people, in our conversation at the post. Don't hide anything. Let everything, man, when he's bringing you in and drawing you, don't deny what he's revealing. Don't curl up and don't flex your muscles. Just stay relaxed and go with the conversation. He's going to take you into deep conversations. The dialogue gets real deep. it gets real deep and it unveils some real, real deep areas at times. But it's wonderful. Listen, we need to receive instructions and ask questions about the things that concern us. We need to do that. We need to receive instructions and we need to, I'm telling you now, we need to ask questions about things that concern us, not from fear, but from faith, from the place of his temperament. She had a whole conversation in the midst of her deliverance. I've never seen that at the altar when I'm working the altar. I don't see conversation at the altar. I don't see when deliverance, we're just, most of the time, we're just pounding away, praying, trying to figure out what's going on with people. Well, not me, man. I tell you the truth. I ask questions. Sometimes I say, what are you up here for? What do you need? What's going on with you? And I start a dialogue right there at the altar. Before I start to pray for deliverance, God has always used me in that manner. Most Christians, man, that work altars, most leaders, they just go in and try to be all superhero with it. No, man, there's a dialogue there. There's a dialogue that you can have. One time, one guy was at me, was on a watch night service. I looked at him and discerned. I said, listen, why do you want to punch me in my face right now? He said, I do. And we went from it from there, went at it, laid hands on him. The power of God touched him, put him down, and man, delivered his soul from whatever vexation he was going through. There's dialogue when you're at the post. There's dialogue. So now watch this. Jesus answers. He said, there's two positions that we need to be in when we're here in the dialogue. When water's being poured, we need to be in two positions. If you remember this from the teaching, it's the first position is well and truly. I know you're probably saying, what? Yeah, well and truly. Jesus said she answered well. Jesus said she answered well and truly. The word well there means rightly, so that there shall be no room for blame. When the dialogue is going on, you got to open up and be in a position of answering well, where there's no position for blame. She said, I have no husband. He's like, right. You spoke truly. Well said. You did good. You left no room for blame. She let him know, listen, I wish I did, but I don't. Is anybody hearing me?
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So she answered in a position of being absolutely true, in a well position, where it left no room for blame. Jesus said she answered well and truly. The second one was truly. Her answer about having no husband came from a place of total honesty. It left no room for blame. She wasn't just saying that. No, she was opening herself up to the fact that I got an issue. He's not my husband. She left no room. What could the Lord do but deliver her?
Amen.
Her post-experience was about to manifest works, words, dialogue between her and the Lord were about to become the works of the Father. Watch this. Truly. Watch this. It says, as not concealing, there should be a comma, loving the truth. So she answered in a position where she wasn't concealing and she was loving the truth that she was hearing and imbibing, feeling. She finally was able to speak from a place where she was loving the truth. She could feel that her freedom was nigh. My goodness, if you're really having an authentic post experience and you're in the dialogue there, you can tell that your deliverance is coming for you. You can tell that it's nigh unto you. After all these years of bondage, deliverance was at her door. She could feel it. So she answered. She answered truly, not concealing, but imbibing and loving what was going on. That's a real authentic post experience, bringing you into the realm of authentic faith. You have to fall in love with the truth as water is being poured at the post. You have to. And then you'll find the exchange take place. The exchange took place for her. Deliverance hit. It hit even before she got back into town to talk to the men about Jesus and come hear a man that told me all things. Before she even got back there, there's evidence that that deliverance took place. The woman, the Bible says in verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men. Now, the water pot she left was a, the word water pot means a receptacle for family supply. Elder Donna, you taught on this a while ago in the old store. She left her receptacle for family supply. The woman actually left her means of survival. She found another means of survival. She left her means of sustenance. She found another means of sustenance. There was an exchange there made. The argument began over the water pot. Jesus said, let me borrow your water pot so I can get some water. And she argued with him that he didn't belong there. And that value of the water pot was for her and her family. Now she leaves it there. She leaves the very thing. So she's leaving her sustenance. She's leaving what she knows on how to survive. She leaves it. Why? Because there was an exchange made at the post. She left her only means of survival there at the post there. And she laid it down. Why? Because she really did tap into another mean of survival. The Father came on the scene. Alpha was there. Then Omega came to the scene and brought results and freed her mind from how she thought she used to have to live. Freed her mind right there. She had a post experience. Why? Because she found dialogue, and in the dialogue, she answered well and truly. She didn't hide anything. And that's what God is saying to us. Don't lose this. Don't lose this position with me. I'm willing to free you from whatever you might be going through. I'm willing to save you to the depths that you have, my goodness, no idea that you needed saving. But when I begin to pour water at the post, answer me well, answer me truly. And I guarantee you'll leave what you thought was your means. You thought it was the way that you had to live. You'll leave it. We'll make an exchange. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's dialogue at the post. There's dialogue at the post, and guys, we've got to continue to find our way into it. We've got to continue this on a day-to-day basis from morning, and then do it again sometime in your afternoon, then find them again in the evening. Listen, listen, listen. The end of our faith, listen, it's got to be this way. Our souls, you've got to hear this now. Our souls have to line up that one day, the temperament of the Lord will have been imprinted on our souls. My mind, your mind, my will, your emotions will function like Jesus, like Christ. That is the salvation of our souls, receiving the end of our faith, the salvation of our souls. That dialogue is to pull whatever is in your soul that stops the functionality of the way that Christ would do it from up out of you and up out of me. My soul, your soul. Listen, your spirit is not being saved. Your spirit is aiding salvation for your soul to be saved.
Amen.
But Amen. Your spirit is not being saved, so don't rely on your spirit. No. Your soul has to be saved. Where your mind, your will, your emotions are lying. Where you become a real epithet of Jesus. In part 15, continue, that's what we talked about. This is the conclusion of all of this. The Father is end, he's the end of our faith. The resurgence, this was talking about the resurgence of not just Alpha Fellowship, but Alpha and Omega Fellowship. The Lord at this point has restored Alpha and Omega Fellowship. Now he will fully reveal the full depth of and importance of the Omega Fellowship to us. Talking about the results, the place of works. When we got into this series on faith, the Lord told us that we were going to come to the end of our faith. He redirected our faith from off of just success back unto salvation now. Well, little did we know, the fellowship with the Father is the end of our faith. for it produces, truly produces total salvation unto our souls. And in this message, we talked about the Father being endgame. He's endgame here. This is it. It doesn't go any further than this. This was an amazing discovery. It's an amazing truth. It's also indicative for the time that we're living in and for how time is winding up. Imagine coming to a revelation that points to the end or the finished works of the Father in its totality, to where now the Father can finish in you what he started through Christ Jesus. Now he wants to finish it. In 1 Peter 1 and 9, it says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation. You can take out that word even, it's italicized. Watch how it reads. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Thank you, Jesus.
It says here, the word end there, we keep that word end in mind. It says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. We know that Alpha, that Jesus is our Alpha. Omega would be the Father. We learn that from out of the words that are spoken, and then the Father bringing the works, the results. The word ending or Omega is the finality. The word Omega really means finality, which does translate into ending. The word ending means results. So the word end, where it says receiving the end of your faith, and the word ending in the Revelations 1 and 8 are actually the same exact word. So now receiving the end and ending being the Father in Revelations 1 and 8, 1 Peter 1 and 9 says receiving the end of your soul. Same exact word. So now it's the same exact Greek word. The Father has been noted as Omega or ending, the result. And the end of that result or our faith is salvation. So watch this. The Father is the end. Jesus's job, his ministry, was to get us into full fellowship with the Father.
Amen.
This is the end of our faith, guys. This is where it stops right here. This is where it ends. The finality comes as we come into fellowship with Omega, with the Father. Alpha being that rhema word, we're there all the time. But now the post experience reveals how now the Father, the fellowship with the Father, the fellowship. I hear the word that Alpha speaking, Jesus is giving to me. And I now communicate that word with the Father. I now start speaking to him about it. You'll feel the shift and the change. I tell you this all the time. You'll know when the Father steps on the scene, when pruning starts. When the husbandman is taking out and cutting dead places out of you, when he starts to reveal those areas, when it gets personal, normally at the time it's gotten personal, the Father has shifted into the fellowship. Why? Because he's there to bring salvation unto your soul.
Amen, Lord.
He's there to cut away the things that don't belong in your life. The Father now has stepped in. You are touching now the end of your faith, salvation of your soul. The word end means, listen, the word end means to set out for a definite point or goal. It also means the conclusion of an act. It means the point aimed at. The conclusion of an act or state. The end to which all things relate. It is the aim. It is the purpose. The purpose of Jesus was to bring us unto the Father. So now, the Father now, he is the conclusion of all of this. He's the one that's going to manifest all of the rhema word that Jesus has come and taught us. The Father's going to bring all the results. And those results point to salvation of the soul. The word ending is exactly the same, to set out for a definite point or goal. the point aimed at. It's the conclusion of an act or state, the end to which all things relate. It was the aim and the purpose. Yeah, Alpha came denoting that he would also get us into Omega. He denotes, Alpha denotes that he is also Omega. You have God the Son and God the Father. So coming unto the Father is the goal that he had set out for us all the while. Being in fellowship with him is the end game for the old man and every fleshly deed and or deeds we have done or still do. It's end game. I'm telling you right now, you will not survive if you're in fellowship with the Father. You will not survive. But Christ in you, the hope of glory, will live. You won't survive. We will not survive if we step into Omega fellowship. That's why John made it and stressed it. He said, listen, if you're going to have fellowship with us, check it out. You got to know that our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. We're not just talking to Jesus. We're talking to both the Father and the Son. They're both the same. Yes, they are one, but one holds one ministry and the other holds the other. Jesus holds the word ministry. The Father holds the works ministry. We're not just talking to the word ministry. We're reaching the works ministry of God.
Hallelujah, Lord. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Father. Thank you, Father.
Our fellowship is not just talking good talk in the word, having revelation knowledge, going back and forth with each other. No. But what we say and what we're talking about, we're also experiencing. Why? Because our fellowship is both with the Father and the Son. Jesus said it like this. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. We just heard this on the last message. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place. We dealt with the word place last message, but we stretch out in this message. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Verse 5 said, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we learned that the word place, Jesus was going to prepare a place. We learned that it meant condition. We stopped there. But then we learned in this message that it doesn't just mean condition, but he's creating an opportunity. That's where power is. And it also opens up the occasion for acting. So I'm going to prepare a condition. Yep. Why? That where I am, you may also be. Where are you going? I'm going back to the Father. I want you with him too. That's the place. I'm creating an opportunity that I'm going to go take my sacrifice to him. Mm-hmm. And when I bring my sacrifice to him, I'm going to open up an opportunity and I'm going to release power and the occasion for acting can come to pass. I can get you in position to where you truly have the fullness of salvation. I'm going to my Father. Hallelujah. And where I am, you may also be. The place in which Jesus was going back to was the Father. That's why he said it is expedient that I go unto the Father, because where he was, we could also be. And that's with the Father. That's what this whole thing was about. Jesus is like, listen, I'm going to be that sacrifice. I'm going to go ahead, shed my blood, be the unblemished lamb. I'm going to come and paint the tabernacle in heaven with my blood. I'm going to present it in heaven. And when I get there, it's going to open up an opportunity for you to be where I am. And that's with the Father. But now I go my way, it says in John 16, 5 through 10. But now I go my way to him. I'm going my way where? To him. That's the place that sent me. I'm going to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I don't go, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness and of judgment. of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. So the Comforter now would become the bridge in the fellowship. And he would quicken us and through the rhema word would bring us unto the Father. He would be that bridge from Christ Jesus to the Father. It's through his quickening power that we would be able to fellowship with the Father. Jesus said that him being with the Father would bring us unto righteousness. For where he is, we would be. And that's with the Father. That fulfills all righteousness. Being with the Father. Now, righteousness is totally fulfilled. Why? Because really you got there by faith, and that's the only way you get into total righteousness. And so now we're with the Father by authentic faith, by that post experience. Now all righteousness is fulfilled, which is wonderful. Why is all righteousness fulfilled when we're with the Father? Because they won't just be words you're hearing. The words alone are so powerful, it makes it feel so right. But those words must become works to fulfill righteousness. They have to become the works. The manifestation of those words has to come to pass. You were really saved. It wasn't just something said. It really happened. You were really born again. It wasn't just something said. It really took place. It became works. Words must become works for righteousness to be fulfilled. And being with the Father fulfills that. So this is why the end of our faith is the salvation of our souls. And the Father is that salvation. Yet one more confirmation, if you don't mind. One more confirmation that the Father is the end of our faith. In John 15, 1 through 4, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth. He purgeth it. He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me. The Father does the purging. We all know this. And it brings us to the end of our faith, which is the salvation of our souls. Walking in manifestations of all kinds is a part of our salvation package. You have to understand that the Father, it's amazing, oh man, when you understand his ministry. Oh, it's amazing when you say Father. Father, and you don't even really have to say the name of Jesus, because when you're saying it and you're in the temperament, you're saying the name. And so when the Father feels that there's been a temperament exchange, he comes in and he begins to purge. He begins to cut away. And then we're in position that we can bear more fruit. That's manifestations of all kinds. And that comes with our package of the end of our faith, which is salvation. So knowing him is salvation, in fact. Knowing him is eternal life itself. And one final nail in the coffin. This is your final nail. Actually, I got two more. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour's come. Glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is how he gives eternal life. Watch this. And this is life eternal. So you thought Jesus was the one giving it. In essence, he does, but his words have to become works. Watch. And this is life eternal. This is what I got to get them to, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is how we're saving them, that they're knowing you. They're having knowledge, awareness. They're having intimacy with you, Father, and me. He says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory, with the full opinion, which I had with thee before the world was, that we were one. That is the full opinion. Bring me back into yourself. So you can plainly see Jesus wasn't going to a geographical location. He got his spot back in the Father. The place he prepared was a real relationship between us and our Heavenly Father. This is where our faith comes to an end, and his authentic faith comes to life. This is where all wrinkles and get ironed out and all the spots get cleaned. This is where authentic faith meets the fullness of salvation. Yeah, when we're with the Father in fellowship, when our faith has carried us, not just from hearing the word, but seeing and experiencing the works of the Father. Now it's full. Amen. Now it's complete. Now we're ready. We're ready. We're actually be ready for the return of Jesus. The full he can come and we're ready. Because words became works because we got into fellowship with Omega, the God of results. And that's what he's bringing us to. And that's what he doesn't want us to lose this ever again. Your fellowship is to be with the Father and the Son. I have a PS moment for you, and this is it. This is my end here. PS means a postscript, is an additional thought added to letters. And this is one additional thought. In John 17:6, he says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. He said, I have manifested thy. The word thy means thy house. I've manifested thy house unto the men. I've given them thy house. I've given them all that you are. Name, of course, we learn means character, temperament. So the house or the mansion is coming from out of the name, the temperament. The fullness of God is right there. Jesus said, I've manifested your house to them. In my Father's house, in the house, that's where all those mansions are. In other words, I've given them the access and the ability to all Rhema. I've given them the ability to all that you are, everything that you are. Jesus had a great sense of all that he was. All the miracles he did was because he knew the fullness of what was in the Father's house. There was nothing that could be stopped. There was nothing that wasn't achievable. Cursing fig trees, multiplying fish and bread, raising dead folks, and all this other stuff he did, all these great, wonderful things. He knew it was in the house. He's saying here, I've given the fullness of you, Father. I've given them all that you are, everything you are. Imagine having all of God, everything. There's only one thing the Father didn't give Jesus, and I'll tell you that. I'm telling you right now, there's only one thing. One thing, all the power the Father has. And there was only one thing he never gave Jesus, and that was the day and time he would return. He never gave Jesus the day and time. Only the Father kept that for himself. Only the Father knows when he's going to send Jesus back. Jesus does not know the day or time. He said it in the book of Acts. But everything else that is of the Father is of Christ. And that means if he gave us his Father's house, he gave us everything. The only thing we shouldn't be in touch with is the day and time. But that day, when it does come, if we're in position, it won't overtake us like a thief. We won't be surprised. We'll be locked in. So everything that the Father is, you've got. But it comes through that fellowship with him. He's ready to reveal to you, just like he did Jesus. Everything. All healing, all deliverance, all salvation, everything, everything, everything.
Bless God. Bless God.
Everything. He said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. And that is the end of the Authentic Faith series.
Hallelujah.
Bringing you into a dimension where all things become absolutely possible to you. Nothing is impossible to you any longer. Absolutely nothing. And the only one that we can blame because of the knowledge we have would be ourselves. We're the only ones. We blame ourselves. It's just us, guys. But we've gotten everything. He's manifested his name, his house unto us.
Thank you, Lord.
We have everything we would ever need. Everything we would ever need to walk by faith and not by sight. To live in the realm of authentic faith. We've got it all. God, we've got it all. Jesus, we bless you. We bless you. Lifting your hands to him. There's such a feeling on the line right now. Father. Father, do the works. All of the words in which we've heard, all of the teaching that we've gotten concerning faith, do the works. Cause us to abide in the truth we've heard. Do the works, Father. Cut away the things that distract.
Yes, Lord.
Cause us to be offset from it. Do the works, Father. We heard the word of our Lord Jesus. We've heard the Rhema word. Those words that you gave him, he's spoken unto us. Now do the works, Father. Complete the things that are not yet completed. Do the works, Father. Do the works, Father. From the greatest to the smallest, from the inside to the outside, do the works, Father. From the place of salvation to the place of success, do the works, Father. Our faith, the faith of Jesus, has brought us unto you. We're at the end game. We're at the end game. We're at the end game. And if our souls are at the end game, that means all of our monetary living has also reached the same. Yes, your word tells us that. Beloved, I pray above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as our souls prosper. If our souls are at end game, if our souls are at the maximum level, then everything around us is maximum level now. So, Father, do the works. Do the works over everyone under the sound of my voice. Do the works, Father. Finish it, I pray. Don't forget us. Don't leave us. No, 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 no. But fulfill your word unto us, Father.
Hallelujah.
Do the works, Father. Do the works.
Yes, Lord.
For anybody that's stuck in the midst of their transition, for anybody that's being held by this life and by the cares of this world, I pray, Father, do the works. Do the works, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Blessed are they.
Thank you, God.
Do the works. The works, Father.
Yes.
Do the works. You have all power. Jesus, you did. You did it. You did it. You manifested his name unto us. You've given us his house. You've given us his kingdom. And so, Lord, we salute you. You've blessed us. You brought us into a position that we can really see some great things happen. And you can use us as vessels and tools to reveal this authentic faith life. But Father, it goes back to you now. Do the works. Do the works. You keep us here. Keep us in the fellowship.
Yes, God.
And we bless you.
Thank you,
Lord. We truly bless you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We truly bless you, Jesus. We truly bless you, Master. Hallelujah. Elder Allison says amen and amen. Elder Donna says he is the true and only way. Praise God. Blanche says amen, and Elder Donna says amen again. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Keep. Last word I'll speak to you is keep his word. Don't let it suffer loss, and don't let it suffer injury. You keep it. Keep his way. Keep it.
Amen, Lord.
That's all I have for you today. I'd love to hear from you again on Wednesday, guys, and when we get into the prophetic word that he proves to us in that word that we've truly arrived in the right place. Boy, did he ever break it down in that one. So that's on Wednesday. On Thursday, it'll be in your announcements. We're going to have an open discussion on the entire series, and that will totally wrap it up. Bring your highs, bring your lows, bring the things that were life-changing to you on Thursday. For those of you that will be on the line, try to get on the line Wednesday. Please don't miss it. It'll be recorded, but try to be live with it and then get into that discussion. Press your way into that discussion on Thursday and bring the high points, what changed you, what did it for you. You can talk about your low and then how maybe you came high in the series. But it'll be an open discussion for Thursday. And that's all I have for you guys today. God bless you. I love you all.